just am glad to have, I have two J groups, and I have people from each of those, I think, represented tonight. So my leadership under 35 group, yeah. They're in the house. I love leading that group because being a 34-year-old as I am, it's... So it's been a great group, and there was such a huge response to that group. I had to close it, but I kept trying to sneak a few more people in, so we're playing the game of how many people can we put in our family room, and apparently quite a few, as long as everybody likes each other. So I'm glad that group is here. And then anyone from my business leaders group in the room? Got anybody from my business leaders group in the room? All right, very quiet. Business leaders group, but I think there are a couple of them here. So I'm glad my J groups are here. And then I just want to say, give huge honor to my team, the lead team that works directly with me to lead in ministry here. I love them. They make the noise go away. And yeah, I couldn't do what I do if they didn't do what they do by any stretch. And I'm very grateful for the people around me. I'm not that smart. I just put really smart people around me. It's the key to a successful life. And so if you're looking to get married, take that advice as well. So it's been a great season in the life of our church. I mentioned 21 days and then the Hustle series, and God just did some great things during that series. We're in the Fight For It series around relationships. And let me just make a quick plug for this coming weekend. You got to bring everyone you know to this coming weekend. I feel like I've got the message of this year for this coming weekend, and it's the number one thing I've learned about healthy relationships over the past 20 years, and I just cannot wait to preach it. It's going to be a lot of fun, so invite people. It's going to be a great weekend, and we have also been focused on just making space and reaching more people at both of our locations. Thank you for all of you who are riding the shuttle at Newark. So... you may ride the shuttle here, but you are parking in the parking lot of heaven someday, my friend. Just want you to know that's how you're going to work. If you're not riding the shuttle, well, you can Uber into heaven. Hopefully that works out. So, but thank you. If you want to know how I really feel, come to team night. So... thank you for being flexible this past weekend. You guys rallied. I heard we had some last-minute changes, and we're really working toward getting 125 cars at a time parked off-site so that we can make space for more people to find Jesus here in Newark. And then we're working toward inviting at least 150 people from the J-Team in West Wilmington to our West Wilmington location this month. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. WW, represent. And so it's a really exciting season, and a couple of things that are coming up I want to let you know very quickly, just so you're the first to know. Pastor Dino Rizzo is going to be here in a couple of weeks, and he is from Church of the Highlands. Pastor Chris Hodges was with us a few months ago, my pastor, and so if Pastor Chris is like my spiritual father, Pastor Dino is like a spiritual big brother, and he's coming to hang out with us. It's going to be awesome. We're starting a new series called Too Good to Be True in March that's going to build your faith. That's going to lead up to baptism weekend, and then we figured we'd do a little thing called Easter. So, got some good stuff coming down the pike. And tonight, the win of Team Night is to help us grow deeper in our relationship with God and in our relationships with others. And this February Team Night is built around our first core value of leadership here, which is submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always say, of our 10 core values, you can put them in any order you want, except for the first one's got to be first. And that is submission to Jesus. And I know that word submission is a big word, you know. Depending on our background, we might think of a UFC match or, you know, some kind of forced servanthood. But this is a submission of joy. We serve Jesus out of delight, not duty. It's not, we don't have to, we get to. And what that means is when it comes to following Jesus fully, we're not perfect, but we're always making progress. And we're growing in our relationship with God. And I'm convinced that one thing that most often gets in the way of me growing deeper in my relationship with God and growing deeper in my relationships with others and gets in the way of my influence and my leadership and reaching my full potential is something I want to talk about tonight, and that is this feeling of being inadequate or unprepared or not up to the job. It's this thing called insecurity. Has anybody ever felt insecure? So that's about 90% of us. The rest of us, too insecure to raise our hands. And I understand. I've been like, I want it, but can you just, I'll wink. And this is a problem all of us face, this insecurity thing. And it gets in the way of our leadership. And it also gets in the way of us really submitting to Jesus, because submitting to Jesus requires trust, and it requires faith, and it requires getting out of our own heads and thinking of ourselves less, which is real humility, by the way. It's not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less. And insecurity causes us to constantly think, how am I being perceived? How am I being looked at? Are the words coming out of my mouth the right words? Am I doing this just the right way? And it holds us back so much. And so here's my preface to what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. You know your excuses? Anybody know your excuses? Like, you know the stuff holding you back right now? The, like, I should, but then there's this. And there, anybody have any excuses? All right. Anybody insecure and have excuses? All right, good. So just picture kind of your biggest excuses, the things that make you feel insecure and that hold you back and cause you to hesitate when it comes to trusting God. Just get them in your mind, find them, kind of picture them in front of you, and then let them know I'm coming for them. All right? So just serve them notice. Hey, that guy up, that skinny redheaded guy up there is coming for you, excuses. Get ready. In the book of Judges in the Old Testament, in chapter 6, there's an amazing account of something that happens at a very low point in the story of the nation of Israel. And they've brought a lot of this low point on themselves. So as often happened, if you read the Old Testament, you look at the history of the nation of Israel, God's people, they were a roller coaster ride spiritually, right? And in this particular season, they had drawn away from God. They had become very wicked. They were disobeying God's laws. They were disregarding God's love. They were just doing their own thing. And as a result, God allowed a nation called the Midianites to come in and begin oppressing the people of Israel. And I think there are times in our lives where God, and this is a heavy subject, I know, but God allows some things into our lives, not because he hates us, but because he loves us too much for us to keep wandering away from his best. And he doesn't cause, like, God didn't, you know, invent the Midianites. He just gave permission for them to begin to oppress the nation of Israel. And the Midianites were very cruel, which God was not pleased with. But again, he was allowing this to happen. And Israel got to such a desperate place that they were literally hiding in caves and holes in the ground to stay away from the Midianites. They were starving to death. They were oppressed. And they began to finally cry out to the Lord. Does it ever amaze you how long it takes before we finally begin to go, okay, God, I think I'll do it your way. And that's Israel in this moment. Like, finally, like, they're saying, we need God. And so God sends an angel to a guy named Gideon. And Gideon is doing his thing. He's hiding from the Midianites just like everybody else. He does, from the outside looking in, he doesn't look special. He doesn't look like he's some person who can make a big difference or save Israel. He's as freaked out as the rest of his peers. He's trying to keep a low profile, not ruffle anybody's feathers. And this angel shows up to Gideon. And the angel says to Gideon, hey, what's up, mighty hero? And Gideon's like, who are you talking to? I'm not a mighty hero. I'm hiding in a hole in the ground. Like, I'm freaked out. I'm scared. I'm insecure. And the angel says, yeah, but the Lord is with you. And Gideon responds with great faith, yeah, really? Is he really with me? Because it doesn't look like he's with me. Like, I look around and I'm in a hole. And our nation is under oppression and good things are not happening and bad things are happening all the time. So is God really with me? And there's this back and forth that happens between Gideon and the angel. And the angel is representing God. So it's really this back and forth with God, this kind of tug of war. And Gideon makes a lot of excuses. He throws a lot of yeah, buts into the conversation. But finally, he ends up doing what God leads him to do. And he takes this tiny little army of Israelites and goes up against this massive army of Midianites. And he utterly prevails. He takes 300 guys against thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of enemy soldiers, and he wins because, well, God. No other explanation for it. It's God. It always was God. It was never Gideon. It was never how tough he was. It was never how smart he was. It was never how prepared he was. It was always going to be God. Just a note to self. Wherever God's leading you, it's always going to be him. If you get to the place where you don't need him anymore, you are no longer on his path for your life. If you can do it without him, That's not faith. And so it was always going to be God. But I want to give you one verse from this account. We're just going to camp out on this one verse, Judges 6:14. And it says this, "Then the Lord turned to him," to Gideon, "and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.'" So I want you just to repeat this after me. Ready? Go with the strength you have.
Go with the strength you have.
I am sending you.
So
it's important to have a life that is open to those kinds of instructions from God. And it's not always an audible voice or an angel that shows up. In fact, for most of us, it may not be that distinct or that tangible. But if we listen, we can sense the nudges. We can sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit to take a step and to serve bigger and to lead bigger and to trust bigger and to believe bigger and pray bigger and to do hard but important things. And often what I've found is a lot of us are willing to do what God's leading us to do. It's not like we're like, "No, I'll never do that, God." Sometimes we are, but often we're very willing. We just think we need a little more strength first. Like, "God, I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. Absolutely planning on changing the world. It's just at first I got some stuff. I got some stuff, God, that is not where I need it to be. If you just give me some space, let me work my stuff out. Hopefully Israel will still need saving 19 years from now because I'm going to work on my stuff." And so we're willing, but we're not really willing because we have things we feel like we need to work out in the meantime. And they seem like great things. And so we tell ourselves and we end up telling God things like this: "I'll go when I've read the Bible and prayed a little more, when I feel more devoted." It's like a spirituality insecurity. And I've experienced it. It's like, "God, definitely want to do what you're leading me to do. But I need to memorize more scripture first. I need like a seminary degree. If I'm going to do this thing, I need to be so ready that if you don't show up, I can do it on my own. Like, I'm going to take care of my own spiritual readiness." Now, the truth is, I know God is Father, so I live like a son. It's one of the statements I pray out loud at the beginning of every week. I know God is Father, so I live like a son. And part of how I get closer to God is practicing a slot and spot, a time and place with God. A few years ago, I realized that I needed it every day. I even needed it on the vacation days. Yes, that's an indication that's true. It happens, everyone. You might not see an angel, but you will. So, a few years ago, I thought, "Well, I need to practice a slot and spot on my days on, but I don't need that on my days off. God's got me on my day off." Turns out, I sometimes need him even more on my day off, especially on those vacations with extended family. So that's part of how I get closer to God, and there's something powerful about doing it first. Just like we give the first part of our income when we give our first, I think it's powerful to give the first part of our day to God, to put him first in our day, to say the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to connect with God. It's a powerful daily habit. I can't live without it. Everybody with me on that? But my slot and spot does not make me more loved or more qualified. It reminds me how loved and qualified I already am. That's its purpose. So thank you very much. You can have that one. So when I practice a slot and spot, when I spend time with God, the point of that is not to just prepare me for what God wants to do in and through my life. It has that purpose, but it's to remind me of what God already sees is true. God already sees me as fully qualified. I'm not waiting for him to catch up. He's just waiting for me to catch up to what he already sees. Everybody tracking with me? So we don't practice a slot and spot to get saved or to prove that God loves us or that we're prepared to do what he's leading us to do. We practice it out of security. I am loved by God if I never read another verse or pray another prayer. But when I rest in what Jesus has done for me, I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. No one's twisting my arm. I'm not doing it out of guilt. I'm not like, "Oh, I'm such a bad person. I should probably connect with God." No, I'm connecting with God because I know I'm loved by him. I just need to catch up with what he already sees in my life. So when it comes to your leadership, what is it that God is nudging you to do? And listen, here's the question. How spiritual do you need to feel before you obey God? Now, I'm all for spiritual preparation. I think it's essential. That's why I do it every day of my life. But how spiritual do you need to feel before you do what God is leading you to do? And Gideon's like, hey, I need to get more spiritual. And God's like, but Israel needs you now. We need you now. So I guess you're going to have to build the airplane while you fly it. Which anybody who wants to follow Jesus had better get comfortable with building the airplane while we fly it. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't stop building the airplane and think you can just coast on what God did in your life before. Keep leaning in and getting closer to him. But in the meantime, don't hide in your prayer closet and never come out and do something great for God. Go in the prayer closet to get psyched up about what God's called you to do, and then go do it. Go do it. Don't wait until you feel spiritually secure. You already are. Act accordingly. Faith leads. Feelings follow. Go with the strength you have. God says, I am sending you. And God says, I'm not worried. Where I'm sending you, you're going to need to pray. I'm not worried. You're going to want to pray. Like, you are going to be, God, I know it's only noon, but can we do the whole slot and spot thing again? Because I'm in over my head. Everybody with me? Then we say, well, I'll go when my relationships are in a better place, when I feel more connected. Now, the truth is, I know God is love, so I joyfully love others. That's a statement I pray every day over my life. And as a leader, I've got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional as a leader whom you spend time with. Did you know that? And as you continue to grow in your leadership, you're going to find that some relationships can't keep pace with where God is leading you. Don't get mad, don't be mean, and don't tell the person, you can't keep pace with where God is leading me, unless you have a clear word from God. But you might have to go, you know what, this relationship can come here, but it can't come here. Jesus shows us this. He came to save the world. He fed 5,000. He sent 70 out. He had 12 disciples, but there were three dudes. He was like, you coming all the way with me. We're going to the garden together. And even then, they were like, you go pray, we'll fall asleep. Jesus was like, we got some work to do. But and I've always, not only do I have some relationships that won't come all the way with me, but I've got some work to do on my part in my relationships. I've got to become a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better leader, a better follower. But how smooth do I need to feel like my relationships are before I go do what God's leading me to do? Because if I get stuck in a place where it's like, no, I want to do what you're calling me to do, God, but still, I just got this one thing I got to work out. Maybe you're, man, let me go there. Maybe you're in a marriage and your spouse is not fully bought into how you're following Jesus. You're going to have to walk this tightrope of modeling Christ-like love and patience with them and compromise in areas that you need to compromise, but you still got to let Jesus be the Lord of your life and not let your marriage become the Lord of your life. You might have a close friend that loves God, but you've got to decide, even though there's this friction in this area, I can't put my life on pause and not do what God's called me to do. Those are the places when submission to Jesus really gets tested. And here's the good news. Better relationships don't lead to security. Security leads to better relationships. Tweet that if anybody still tweets. So work on your relationships, but don't wait until you feel relationally secure. The best way to have great relationships is to live in a place of complete obedience to God and to do what he leads you to do and to trust him to work. The best way to have great relationships eventually is to do whatever God is leading you to do currently. Trust God. Go in the strength you have. How are your excuses doing? I'll go when my health is better, when I feel stronger. I've been on a quest to take better care of my body. Because I only get one. I figured out I only get one in this life. No trading in during this life. Get one body, one vehicle to do what God's called me to do with physically. And so I've been working on this. Got to feed it right. Got to rest it right. Got to exercise it right. But it would be possible for me to get stuck in this place of, in fact, I'll tell you something really embarrassing, but true. A few years ago, I don't know if you noticed this trend, but all preachers became massively muscular. So my friend Stephen Furtick, my friend Craig Groeschel, like these guys are all like doing things I want to do, but they're like, hey. And I don't know if you noticed, but I'm not able to go, hey. I'm more like, hey. But I did climb a mountain, just throwing that out there. I just couldn't. So, whew, get it back, Johnston. All right, here we go. I know God is creator, so I prepare, maintain, and rest my physical being for his use. It's one of the statements I pray over my life. And I'm not kidding around. God really challenged me coming into this year. Like, if you want this physical being to be able to go where I want to take you in leadership, you got to put the right fuel in it. You got to take care of it because you only get the one in this life. But I don't want to get stuck waiting for my health to catch up so that I can be obedient. And there may be some of us that we're struggling with some health things. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a season of depression. Maybe it's something that we're really struggling with. And we've got to do everything we can to take care of that situation going on in our lives. But at some point, we've got to trust God and do what he's leading us to do. That's submission to Jesus, everybody. To say, I'm going to step out and do what God is leading me to do, even though there are limitations on me. Don't let your limitations become God's limitations for your life. Trust him in that area and step out by faith. Go with the strength you have. God says, I'm sending you. Faith leads, feelings follow. Then we say something like, I'll go when my emotions are whole, when I feel more secure. Right now, I just don't feel ready. And it's not black and white. I understand that there are seasons when we've got to step back and recalibrate. And let me tell you, my journey with emotions, recognizing and respecting and managing my emotions has become a big deal in my life over the past few years because I didn't know I had any. Anybody else wired like that? A few years ago, somebody asked me, like, tell me how you're really feeling. And I'm like, what is that? I could tell you what I'm really doing. I could tell you what I did yesterday, what I'm going to do tomorrow, and what I'd rather be doing right now than having this conversation with you. But since you're a counselor and it's expensive, I will try to buy into this process a little bit and tell you how I'm feeling. But now I've started to understand it's important. And now I pray over my life every day. I know God is truth, so I'm honest about my feelings and desires, and I confess them to him. I don't worry. I trust God, and I'm open about how I feel. But here's the question. How emotionally secure do you need to feel to go do what God's leading you to do? Faith leads, feelings follow. Work on your emotions, but go with the strength you have. We say, I'll go when I've learned more information, when I feel more prepared. And I believe in learning. I know God is wisdom, so I grow in knowledge every day. Pray that over my life every week. The minute we stop learning, we start to die. And being a great leader means choosing enlightenment over entertainment. Say, what does that mean? Fewer cat videos. Fewer Instagram trolling moments. Fewer Netflix binging seasons. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff in moderation, but by hour four, it's like, okay, your brain is melting. And so I believe in all of that. Being informed helps us feel confident and secure, but how informed do you need to feel to go do what God's calling you to do? When Jesus called Peter, James, and John, they were fishing one minute and they were traveling, spreading the good news about Jesus the next. He was like, let's build the airplane as we fly it. Stay close to me and I'll give you all the information you need. Faith leads, feelings follow, go in the strength you have. If you wait until you can answer all the questions, nobody will be asking them anymore. So step out by faith. Leaders who want to follow Jesus fully know faith leads, feelings follow. Here's another one. I'll give you a couple more quickly. I'll go when other people are more on board, when I feel more supported. Since it's team night and we're family, can I get real honest with you? Early on, thanks, three of you. But that actually proves this point. So early on in the church, If I had caved in every time somebody had a new and fresh plan for our lives and our church, like, we would not be the church we are today. I can't tell you how many times I had to say, I've got God speaking to me, and I got a few people who see it. And even if the majority don't, we got to go. We got to trust God that this is where he's leading us. I believe in vision. I am relentlessly empowering at my best when I'm casting vision. I love it when people see what I see. But how clear and supported do you need to feel to go? Some of us are trying to reach consensus with the people in our lives. We're like, I've only asked 49 people. I need to ask 50. And God is saying, hey, Israel is waiting. There's a need right in front of you right now. I didn't ask you to build consensus. I asked you to go do what I was calling you to do. And just like relationships, people buying into our vision doesn't lead to security. Security in our vision leads to people buying in. That's the way it works. We don't go, oh, I'm so insecure. I'm going to, out of my insecurity, try to get people to buy into my vision. We get secure in the vision, and then God sends the people who buy in, and you're the evidence. And I'm so grateful. 90% of the choices I've made over the past 10 years, I was no more than 67% sure would work out. That's an official statistic. And if that freaks you out, it's called faith. Not foolishness. I've always sought counsel. But faith, because a might work plan executed with faith is better than a perfect plan sitting on the shelf all day long. Go with the strength you have. I'll go when my passion returns, when I feel more motivated. So some of us might be saying, man, all this sounds great, but I don't feel it. I did. I'm sure I will again right now. Just not feeling it. And so I'm kind of stuck because I just don't, when I'm waiting for my motivation to return. And I know I've been in seasons where I lost my passion and I had to go find it again. I never want to forget the why Jesus came, why our church exists. It's not to maintain a religion, it's to help people find Jesus and follow him fully. And I'm passionate about that, but I don't always feel passionate. And I'm learning that spiritual maturity is not what we do when we feel passionate. It's what we do after we stop feeling passionate. Are we still faithful to God's calling? I'll just be honest. There are times when I've walked on the stage on a weekend to preach for time number 3 or time number 4 that weekend, and I didn't feel it, but you didn't know it. You say, that's fake. No, that's serving you instead of serving my own emotions. How motivated and passionate do you need to feel before you do what God is leading you to do? And then here's the last one. I'll go when my finances are better, when I feel like I have enough. One of the core habits of a follower of Jesus is giving our first. And we talked about that during the hustle, giving the first 10% of our income back to what matters to God, what the Bible calls a tithe. And it's a powerful principle. And I was amazed. And it filled me with so much joy to see over 500 households in our church commit to the God First Challenge. Isn't that amazing? And I think one of the reasons, so one of the things that's happened with our church, we've reached so many people who are new to faith. And some of you are in the room. You're new to your spiritual journey. And God's got you on this rocket ship ride of spiritual growth. But we reach so many people that we've always, our giving has always lagged what we need to do ministry, and we've always stewarded it very well. And this is another thing that you haven't known. I never have gotten up to beg, and I never will. But we've always seen that gap. And during 21 days of prayer and fasting, I felt like God spoke to me so clearly and said, the enemy wants to bring a stranglehold on the finances of the people in this church. And the reason is because he's watched the church, and he knows what happens with every dollar that's given here. He sees the people getting saved, he sees the relationships being restored, and he sees the families being rescued. And the best way he can think of to slow that, can't stop that, but the best way he can think of to slow that down is to choke the financial resources of God's people. And so I started praying for blessing for God's people and freedom for God's people and faith for God's people. And I believe, Susie and I believe in living a generous life, and we're seeking to live that out more and more. But one of the things that can hold us back is when the math doesn't seem to work. So here's the final one. How financially stable do you need to feel before you do what God's leading you to do? And you're looking at somebody who believes the math is important. I'm the math guy. And we have a board of trustees here that we're the math people. Like we scrutinize it all. And my team, we do the math. We just do the faith first and the math second. If you do the math first and the faith second, you're a financial atheist. If you do the faith first and the math second, you're a wise steward. You see the difference? So let me just ask you, are you ready to go with the strength you have? God is able to do more with the 90% you have left over after you trust him than with the 100% that you were trying to manage on your own. And I believe, just so you know, when we tithe, that doesn't mean we can treat the rest of our finances as if they don't matter and say, God, just bless the mess because I tithed. No. That's like praying for the first thing in the morning and then going, now I'm going to go do whatever I want and just bless it, Lord. No. The first part is supposed to send a signal to the rest of it, what it's for. That's why we spend the first part of our time with God. That's why we give the first of our finances to God. It reminds us that we steward all of it for God's glory. Go with the strength you have. Did I get to your excuse? I just gave you eight of them, and I got the lots of mine. But submission to the Lord Jesus Christ means being willing to go in the strength we have. And some of us have been saying, I need more strength. And the truth is, no, you don't. You just need to go in the strength you have. And his strength doesn't work best in our strength anyway. His strength works best in our weakness. When we're fully dependent on him, that's when we get to see what only God can do. And so many of you have experienced that. So I'm challenging you tonight, go pursue Jesus. Go connect with people. Go get healthy, go get sharp, go get whole, go get strong, go get fit. Go learn more. Go empower, go reach out, go be generous, go scale your leadership. Go do what God is leading you to do. And I'm challenging you to go with imperfect devotion, unresolved relationships, uncertain health, a roller coaster of emotions, doubters all around you, mistakes and disappointments behind you. Work on all of it, but go do what God has given you to do with the strength you have. Go. Go without the resources you think you need, trusting that God is able to provide all you need. Go with the strength you have. And I wrote this prayer for you. Will you close your eyes, open your heart up to God? I want to read this prayer, but I wrote it for you, and I want to get it word for word. I pray it over you tonight. Father, you are wise. You choose whoever you want to choose. You send whomever you want to send. So many times I make excuses based on what I perceive to be my imperfections, my defects, my issues, my unmet expectations, and my unrealized goals. I hesitate, procrastinate, and argue with you, God, when what you're asking me to do is to trust you and go with the strength I have, not the strength I wish I had. Forgive me. Thank you for choosing me. I can do amazing things because of you in me. Because you see what can be in me, because you are sending me and you are with me. Give me the desire and the willingness to believe and obey, but give me the determination to obey when I don't feel the desire or the willingness. Help me be like Jesus, who went with the strength he had, an invisible but powerful strength inside of him. Even when everything outside of him seemed to be against him, let me be like Jesus. You chose me. You are sending me. I won't wait. I'll go with the strength I have, believing you to provide all the strength I need. In Jesus' name, amen. And when you help me give God thanks for that. I have one more thing I want to do that flows directly out of this before we switch gears. And that is, I want to take a moment and pray over all of you who are leading a J group this semester. You're on the front lines, shepherding people, leading people, connecting people, and encouraging people, praying for people, supporting people. Some of you, depending on your group, tackling people. But you're right there on the front lines, and I am so grateful for you. I couldn't do what I do if you didn't lead groups the way you lead groups. You create space in our church for people to connect, and chances are good at some point during leading a group this semester, you're going to have a freak out moment or an it's not working moment. And I know that, been there. There are going to be times when you don't feel like leading group, you don't feel qualified to lead the group, when you're reading that chapter over your lunch break, when you should have read it 2 days before, when you're running around trying to get things ready, when you just had a fight with your wife or your boss or your dog. I don't know your life. When half your group doesn't show up 1 week, and the only people that show up are the complicated people, you're gonna think, I can't do this. And I came to encourage you, you're right. You can't. On your own. But you are not on your own. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So go with the strength you have. You say, I don't have any strength. Do you have Jesus? Go with the strength you have and trust him to do a great work. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do. Let's stand together all over the room. And all of you who are leading a group this semester, will you just shoot a hand up in the air, hold it up high? And that's most of us in the room. I want to, yeah, that's amazing. I love that. Wow. I want to pray over you right now. Father, thank you for these J group leaders. Thank you for these Gideons in this room. Thank you for people who, God, maybe before you nudged them, prompted them, they were hiding. They were like, I don't want anybody to know I'm here. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to sign up for anything. I just want to kind of sit on the sidelines. But God, you showed up in some way in their life. Maybe it was a message they heard. Maybe it was a personal invitation, an email they received. Something, God, got their attention. And they said, I'm going to lead a group. And maybe even week two, they're already thinking, nobody told me it would be this hard. But God, you are with them, and I pray your favor on them. I pray your blessing on every J group in our church right now. I pray lives will be changed. I pray hope will be restored. I pray for all kinds of laughter and joy and friendships to be formed and lives just to go in a new direction. For the strength that you give us is all the strength that we need. Bless every leader and bless this community of faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time. Let's give it up for God. Thank you, guys.